Zella made a beat, so it's go time.
To another edition of the Core 4 Podcast. This is a podcast under SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues Podcast Network. Find it anywhere, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Megaphone, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Grizzly Bear Blues is a blog under SB Nation. Find them on the web at grizzlybearblues.com or on Twitter at SB and Grizzlies. I'm your host, Parker Fleming, and today with me is Big Nate Chester, a.k.a. No Sleeves Nate. What up?
No sleeves. I am wearing sleeves here. What are you talking about?
You did it last time, so I just had to.
You got to keep it going.
Yeah, I got to keep
it
going.
But I had just done arm day that day, so you know I have to flex on them a little bit. That's why I was wearing a sleeveless tee.
Nathan Biceps Chester.
Yep,
sir.
Arm day and nothing else. That's how we do it.
I love to see it, man. And so, you know, there's been this this wave of fan accounts coming clean, saying who they are.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we just hired one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Molly. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Congratulations, Molly, from the Core 4. If you're listening to us, that's pretty cool. If not, I totally understand. But, so she was the Maid of Memphis Twitter account. Yeah, like, it was a super cool story and stuff like that. But we gotta introduce people to the OG.
The real OG.
The OG of Coming Clean.
And Clutch Like Mac?
Yeah.
Clutch Mike Mac 11.
Yeah.
Clutch Like 11. Mac 11.
Yes, sir. We got Alex Adams with us. Alex, what up?
Nothing much. Voice reveal over here.
It's a voice reveal. Wow. This is next level, fan account stuff right here.
I'm geeking out right now. I really am. Alex, I remember when I first came across your Twitter account. It was like probably 2015 playoffs, something like that, 2016 playoffs. And I remember thinking, this dude's like a black dude in his 30s, probably, is what it sounds like. And
a white
19-year-old. And if there's anything we've learned here over the last couple of weeks, is that the people running your anonymous Twitter accounts are probably not what they seem.
Oh, I definitely thought Molly was some, like, 35-year-old man, like, yeah. But...
So, well,
it's an 18-year-old girl.
She, everybody would respond to her and say, "My dude, what's up, my man?" And she would never correct them or anything like that. So you'll forgive me if I thought that. But I definitely did a little bit of a spit take when I clicked on her article and saw her picture underneath it. But
yeah, because I probably had a few. Molly, no, this is no offense to you or your basketball knowledge or anything. I do this to a lot of people. But I probably said, "Hey, man, this ain't it." Like
a good amount,
yeah. So,
but that's what fan accounts are for.
Yeah.
You're not always looking for the most in-depth analysis all the time because, frankly, people don't care about it when I do it on my Twitter account.
Yeah, I mean, people don't really care when I do it. People usually criticize me. I mean, I had somebody tell me yesterday that I was a fool for thinking that the Boston Celtics would trade Gordon Hayward for Mike Conley.
I guess they're looking at 2017 Gordon Hayward, 2018 Gordon Hayward when they're saying that.
Well, 2018 Gordon Hayward snapped his leg, so.
He had a couple of minutes there of prime Gordon Hayward before he snapped his leg.
He was going up for a lob.
Parker, you can't blame them. They're in denial. So let me give you all a little bit of a flashback here. Parker and I were at Beale Street Bears together. This is back in the summer of 2017. And you would have seen in our group, and basically in our group, it's a bunch of white guys talking about how much they're ready for Chandler Parsons to finally return to form once again. So, Parker, we can laugh at Pete Boston fans who are thinking, the fact that you think we would trade Gordon Hayward for Mike Conley. We know what it's like to be in denial over a white wing that we think is a great basketball player and we think is going to be fully healthy again.
But just think about this for Boston fans. Like, just Boston sports in general. They're losing Gronk. They just lost the Stanley Cup. The Red Sox aren't that good right now. They're losing Kyrie for nothing. They're going to lose AD. They need Gordon Hayward because we know Boston and the white people.
Knowing Boston sports fans and their interest, losing two white players would be pretty hard for them in the span of a year.
True that. And so, Alex, one thing I just want to dive in a bit on is, you came clean. So, for one, why did you start the fan account? And two, What made you just like kind of like be like, all right, this is me. Everybody deserves to know that this is Alex Adams.
First, I started it because none of my friends gave a crap about the Grizzlies whatsoever.
Of course.
So I was blowing up my main Twitter page with nothing. Nobody cared. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? I'll just start it. You know, I won't get many followers, whatever. And then Tony Allen retweeted me, and we went from there.
So, what? Do you remember what he retweeted?
It was like a video I made. It was like him and... It was the one with him and Zeebo.
You've been making video... you made that video yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, that's been one of my favorite videos to go back and look at as far as like the core 4 years.
You did that when you were like 15 years old.
Yeah.
That's impressive stuff right there.
Yeah, he messaged me and everything.
Hey,
love the video.
92.9 Sports 56, y'all listening?
Yeah. I can make you videos, some hype videos like I used to.
Yeah, hype videos. I'm all about it.
But was the name, obviously you had the Twitter name, but was the when was the exact time period that you made it? Because the Mike Conley face mask was the profile pic for a while, wasn't it?
I made it February of 2015. It was right after the Jeff Green trade.
Okay.
That's when I made it.
Okay. Iconic time. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, that's actually a lot of the reason I made it, because I wanted to talk about the trade. So I made that page. Sadly, mm-hmm. I talked about Jeff Green. That was unfortunate.
Hey, I was all on board too.
That's Joe Mullinax.
Yeah, the first of many wings to break Joe Mullinax's heart. So when did the Tony Allen retweet happen?
I think it happened that summer, I want to say. I believe it was that summer. Mm-hmm. I was in Wisconsin at a family reunion. I didn't have my phone on me, and I come back, and there's hundreds of notifications from Twitter. Yeah. I had no idea why, and I went through all my retweets and saw Tony Allen there. Mm-hmm. Then he followed me, and then later that night, he messaged me.
So after that, you couldn't talk any more crap about Tony Allen.
Oh, no, I made up a trade scenario a few months later, and he saw and sent me a smiley face. So
wait, a trade scenario involving Tony Allen?
Yeah, he saw it, he liked it, and then he sent me a smiley face.
Wait, did he DM you the smiley?
Yeah, he DM'd
me. That's funny.
You want to hear one that's hilarious? So one of my friends, he was like, during a game, he just tweeted, at Tony Allen's like, make your layups. And I think in that game, like, Tony Allen had a big play where he made a layup. So Tony followed my friend on Twitter just to DM him saying, I make the ones that count, and then unfollowed him.
I think game four in the 2015 semifinals against the Golden State Warriors would beg to differ with that statement.
I was there.
I was at that game with a friend and my friend's dad, and it was a depressing night. Curry and Thompson probably combined for 70 plus that night. They lit him up. But I'll never forget, and my friend's dad, just a great Christian guy. You'll never hear him say a curse word in pretty much most situations. It's Andrew Bogut was quote unquote guarding Tony Allen, and quote Tony Allen is breaking off his open jumpers. My friend's dad finally yells out and goes, you're a damn NBA player. How hard is it to make an open 10-foot shot?
Wow.
And it's hard to disagree with that.
Right, yeah.
His excuse is still that he would have been making those shots if he didn't pull his hamstring.
That's fair.
Because he had a lot of lift on his jumper, so like it made sense.
He shot it on the way down.
It's a line drive.
Mother of all line drives.
I was talking about like lifts on jumpers with my dad yesterday, because we were talking about Chandler Parsons, and like obviously he's losing lift because he barely has any knees anymore. But his shots always had a low arc, and like if he wants to continue being effective and stuff, like he needs to add a little arc to his jumper. And like he's like, the reason why Kawhi is able to do that, like have a low arc, is because he has a lot of lift. Like Tony Allen, he had no arc because he had a ton of lift.
Yeah. So it's a thing that kind of scares me a little bit about the Ja Morant knee thing, because by all accounts he seems to be doing great, recovering. Yeah. Like I don't think it'll be an issue, but I'm kind of the opinion there's no such thing as a minor knee surgery, no matter how minimally invasive it is. And I'll defer to doctors on that. I obviously don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to that. But it's that he also very low arc. Very low release point. He shoots the ball kind of from his chest rather than from his hip, kind of like extends his arms out, and he shoots with a very low arc. So it's kind of that same general philosophy. For whatever reason, he's not quite as explosive or doesn't quite have the hops that he did at Murray State, whether that's now or a couple of years down the road in the future. I wonder how that'll affect his jump shot.
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, my dad's had a ton of knee procedures, and I asked him about this one. He goes, this is nothing.
Yeah. Like, well, that's good.
He was already back. He was back in the gym the next week, mm-hmm. shooting jumpers, shooting three-pointers, dunking the ball. I mean, Russell Westbrook gets his knee cleaned out every offseason.
This occurred to me when I was
writing. I know your disdain and disrespect for Russell Westbrook. You called him, what's your favorite
comparison? Ricky Rubio with anger issues. That's what I go with. I loved your one for Steph Curry. I don't think we could say that on the airwaves.
If you want to know, my comparison for Steph Curry, just DM me, text me. I came up with this myself.
It was well done. It definitely elicited a chuckle or two from people present when it was used.
True. And so, Alex, one thing I do want to ask you about is because I remember I was even one of these people too. It's like when you had this fan account, you always posted these trade scenarios and stuff. And people actually really valued your opinion on what moves were going to happen, what moves should happen. You were in high school when you were doing this. How cool was it to be oh yeah, people were looking to me as far as what kind of trades should happen, what kind of guys the Grizzlies should go after, who they should draft, stuff like that. They were going to you too.
It was crazy. I mean, they were listening to a 15-year-old, and if they knew I was 15, they wouldn't have cared whatsoever.
No.
That's the whole reason the fan page, and I had to hide my identity, I guess you could say. But I've gotten lucky with a few of them, saying the whole Omri Caspi signing. Who else? There was just nothing. Oh, Justin Holiday and Joakim Noah. I called those two. So people mm-hmm. think I have the inside scoop, which I do not. So people mm-hmm. always ask me questions like that. I'm like, no. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's always one of those things where I know a lot of the stuff that both of us say, it's not really much inside scoop. It's just more of paying attention to the exactly. NBA as a whole.
And just what makes sense. And generally exactly. people who are, we all will make fun of Chris Wallace, other executives around the league, but these are very smart people, and if things make sense to us, then there's a decent probability that the people who are at authority of other teams around the league feel the same way about it.
Except for
it.
James Donlan and Ernie Grunfeld, Chris Wallace, I don't know.
What is dead may never die.
Exactly, mm-hmm. and honestly, one thing I do want to talk about too is the Jonas Valanciunas opt-out scenario. Mm-hmm. So he's opted out. Woj said he's intended to pursue a long-term deal with the Grizzlies. I don't know whether I'm buying or selling that. What do y'all think?
It's really funny to me because I was listening to Gary Parish on the way over here, and he was talking about how generally if Jonas is going to opt out, he and the Grizzlies have probably come to a general understanding of what this potential deal is going to look like exactly. over the next few years, probably a little bit less money for more flexibility. It said, I think it's something that Grizzly fans may not be particularly pleased about. What he was referring to was the blogosphere, writers, columnists, plugged-in fans who see, 3 years, 48, yeah, that's entirely too much money tied up in Jonas Valanciunas. I strongly disagree with Gary. If you look at Grizz Facebook or the most casual Grizzlies fan, I think they think Jonas Valanciunas is Marc Gasol 2.0, and I'm talking prime Marc Gasol 2.0. They just saw the numbers.
The White Zeebo.
White Zeebo is a good way of putting it. They think he's the greatest thing ever in 3 years, 60. If that's what it takes, they'll be perfectly fine and content with it. But I'm of the opinion that both in the short term and going over the next couple of years, I think Jonas will be great for the Grizzlies. I think rebounding is a prime concern with Jaren Jackson. He averaged under 5 rebounds a game last year. I forget the exact stat it was, but it was something along the lines of Jaren Jackson is the only player in NBA history to be 6'10" or taller and to play the amount of minutes that he did and grab as few rebounds in a season. Him and Brook Lopez.
Kaminsky.
Kaminsky? I thought you might be right on that, actually.
He did have a lot of minutes early in his career. He just kind of fell off because
they played him on the wing the entire also, time.
The Charlotte Hornets also just had a plethora of mediocre big men, so they got to see if someone's actually good. But I think one thing that we really need to pay attention to in this Jonas Valanciunas opt-out is I think he also wanted to see what's happening with Mike because why opt-in if they trade Mike because you're stuck there?
I mean, he should know by now. He's going to be traded. I don't know what he's really looking for, though, with him.
Unless they're not being straight up with him and they're saying there's still a possibility that we're going to bring Conley in. He's going to mentor Ja over his first or second year or whatever. But honestly, I agree with you. I think that has to be a major factor in his potential decision of what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the money situation, because he's probably in the second tier of centers that are in free agency right now. Because
it's Vucevic.
Cousins doesn't count anymore, really.
No. I don't count Cousins.
I would rather have Valanciunas.
I would too.
I'd take Cousins for less money over Valanciunas, but I don't think that would be the case.
Right. The only center I could think of that's better, like clearly better, is Vucevic.
Mm-hmm.
Kings bound.
Possibly.
Mavericks bound. They got to get that European team. missed this great conversation we were having earlier. We just like said that the Mavericks always strike out.
Yeah.
Let's be real. The 2019-2020 opening night starting lineup point guard for the Dallas Mavericks will be Ricky Rubio.
Facts.
It makes way too much sense.
But I don't really know how many suitors Rubio is going to. It's not something I put a ton of extensive thought into, but Utah's already told him that he's not going to be a priority, which I guess Utah is going to like throw the sink at Mike Conley for that to happen, or they're going to try to throw a max deal at D'Angelo Russell and hope. There are so many moving parts that have to go into place. Is Brooklyn going to try to sign the blown Achilles Kevin Durant for a year along with Kyrie Irving, because that frees up Russell? And then Utah can go after and throw the max money at Russell. So.
That's one thing I do want to talk about Valanciunas is the whole Durant deal. Like, what if – so, like, let's say Jonas Valanciunas opted in $17 million and he has an injury that totally affects his market. Like, he missed out on millions of dollars just because he said, oh, I want to just make this $17 million right now, instead of being like, oh, why not I just opt out, a new deal.
He's making the wise decision for him. And
he's already made about $65 million in his career.
So, and he may not want, let's say, a three-year 36. That seems to be something that a number that a lot of people are comfortable with. And it appears all signs indicating from his camp that he'd like more than that over the course of 3 years or whatever. But honestly, whether it's Dallas, whether it's Sacramento, I can't see anyone willing to offer more than that. I think Memphis is willing to offer him more money than anybody else. I think that's completely accurate.
He's more valuable here than he would be anywhere else.
I could see Dallas. That's the only one I can really, like, straight up see.
Would they really outbid Memphis if it came down to it? Like, let's say Memphis is offering 3 years 42. Do you really think they'd raise the bar to 3 years 45? I think that's really questionable.
I don't know.
Yeah, like,
it depends on how they value Porzingis. Do they value him as a four or five? And I think he's way too thin to play the five, even though he's 7'3".
Yeah.
Like,
he's put on a little bit of weight, and he hadn't played in a year. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of time to spend in the weight room over a year.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we'll see about that. But honestly, that's their own analysis and decision they have to make. But we're entering into, and there's a lot of. I remember we talked about this like right before the season ended, and we would have all of these discussions about conveying or not conveying future coach, potential draft picks. And what did I always tell you? I don't know. Boy, there was so much uncertainty. Like, I was like, I need to see if they're going to convey or not convey. And when that happens, where the pick's going to be, who the coach is going to be. And a lot of those questions have been answered, but there's still a lot of moving pieces going around here. And there's still a lot of gray area about what's to come. I'm going to put a number on it. I say there's a, you know what, I'll go 70. There's a 70% chance Jonas Valanciunas will be in a Grizzlies uniform to start next season.
I'll say 68.
Mm-hmm. Just to move it down.
Just to move it down a little bit. All right, Alex, you got to throw in a number. What's your number at?
I got 75.
75, ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Certainty. Like Fleshlight Mac, putting it to the test out. Put the credibility to the test.
They
got to
listen to me now. I'm a fan account.
Exactly. Are you a fan account? Like, you just came out. Like, are you a fan account anymore? It's your personal.
I'm like 50-50 now, because I'm still only tweeting Grizzly stuff. So
yeah.
I kind of count it as a fan account.
Do you use your personal too still?
No, I'm off that now.
So you just use the other one?
I just use that one.
I mean, let's be real.
There's one other anonymous popular.
Eric tweets NBA.
Do what?
It's about the one that came out. as far as like saying, hey, this isn't a fan account, this is my account?
Oh, I had a completely different understanding of come out. Oh. I was like, who are you talking about?
Happy Pride Month, yes. But no, so the handle is Eric Tweets NBA. I think his name originally was like Grizz 901 Nation.
Yeah. That's the one I was thinking of.
It was?
It's Grizz.
That's right. Yeah,
he was. Grizz, don't even get me started.
That's right, man. The fan account beef. That's just that's
the person I blocked.
That is some tea. I think the only person I blocked was Die Hard Grizzly.
I miss him.
I miss him too.
Okay, I've been blocked by one person in all of Twitter, and it's on Grizzly's Twitter. Deep Fried Couch.
Really?
He blocked you?
He blocked me like a year ago, and I don't even remember ever engaging with him. Well, I remember him.
We are dropping some hot social stuff right now.
We're social gossip going on here right now, but I don't remember. I remember following him for a little bit of a period, but it's just so weird and bizarre to me because I've had a lot of opinions and columns over the last year or two that got me hate that were all right. Sheldon Mack.
Oh, yeah.
Garrett Temple. But anyway, You got me.
I'm sorry.
I got myself going.
I want to transition to something different. Because
please stand by. Sheldon, people were telling me that Sheldon Mack was the best backup point guard the Grizzlies have ever had, and I politely stood against that opinion.
Politely?
I had people basically telling me to go kill myself.
Because of Sheldon Mack.
I was getting cyberbullied because I did not think Sheldon Mack was the best backup point guard the Grizzlies have ever had.
I cyberbullied you because of that. I was one of those people. Yeah. I was. I will admit now. I admit it. I was one of those people.
Yo, I forgive you. I forgive everyone, but I never forget.
You know, I didn't really plan on like asking about this or talking about this like ahead of the show, but you know, this little fun convo about Grizz Twitter just got me thinking. What's your favorite part about Grizz Twitter?
That's a tough one. I kind of like how it's a tight-knit group. Don't have the biggest fan base, obviously, so everyone kind of knows each other.
Yeah.
But we need some beef going on. We need to spice things up and just have some beef with somebody.
There was some... Oh, you talking about like with another fan base or just like interpersonal beef?
Impersonal beef.
Ooh, I like it.
We need some impersonal beef.
I'll be on it.
It's got to be between the younger people, and I'm not going to name names here, but there's kind of like these old heads on Grizz Twitter that are just annoying to look... Season ticket holders, that type, that just...
Yeah. Hey, I wasn't going to name names.
Well, I'm going to name names.
But you know what? I was going to say that he was my favorite part of... He's my favorite part of Grizz Twitter.
He's your favorite part?
Yeah.
He's Grizzly's Dungeon.
He is like the mascot of Grizz Twitter. Like, he has all this memorabilia where you're also just like, damn, like that's actually like pretty cool that you have that. Or... Like, he knows stuff. Like, he's not just tweeting out of his ass. Like, he actually knows, like, what's going on.
I kind of roll with my man, Sane. Sane doesn't give a damn.
That was the beef. That was the beef I wanted to bring up.
I'll start beef with Sane just for the heck of it.
It's all.
Yeah, let him get in the beef the other day.
That's what I mean, yeah. I know, Sane, I don't know if you're listening to this. I know we're boys. Don't take Nate too seriously.
Sane and I met at private workout back in... June,
when the draft workouts?
June of last year. And me and him, it were basically, he just told me about all the issues he had with everyone in Memphis media. And he's a hilarious guy. He's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I met him the first time in person. Like, I saw him at Grizzlies Media Day in 2017. But I ran into him and talked to, ironically enough, at a sneaker convention. It was like the Sneak Fest, whatever, at FedEx Forum. I talked to him and Chris Vernon. We were having a conversation about the draft because it was the Jaren year. Mm-hmm. And we were all like Bagley. All of us were like Bagley. Yeah. And Vernon just gave the great point. and saying, I just want to see Luka play against black people. I was like, fair enough.
The only black person I can remember him playing against Europe was Adrian Payne. Yeah. Remember that clip that was going around? He was struggling to beat Adrian Payne off the dribble, off a switch, and the pick and roll.
That was another beef with Vernon Insane. Remember that Jarrell Martin promise deal?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
That was also like, I didn't really pay attention to Vernon much pre-Grind City Media.
It was bad. So Sane and Cam were saying Grizzlies promised Jarrell, and they took him. And Vernon was like, no, no, no. If RJ Hunter's there, they're taking him. Which RJ Hunter was there, and they went with Martin, and then Vernon deleted all of his tweets.
Is Martin still on Orlando's roster?
Yeah.
He's either got another delete.
He's hanging on. No,
he might be a restricted free agent now.
I think he's got one more, or he could be.
He could be, because that class of 2015 is entering that restricted free agent cycle.
Yeah. We'll see where that goes.
All I remember is seeing a tweet, and it was like, I was just in Arkansas, and I looked at this tweet, and it said, Jarrell Martin doing things in the playoffs. I'm like, what?
But I remember back to that draft, and this is one of my moments. I like to beat my chest and say I was right about it. You know who I wanted the Grizzlies to pick? Pat Connaughton.
Who?
Pat Connaughton.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted RJ Hunter, too. I would have been fine with Hunter at that point, too. Yeah, he's out of the league now, isn't he?
No, he got a two-way deal with Boston.
Didn't Boston, like, cut him a while back and then brought him back on a two-way?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but yeah, I want to. It took Connaughton obviously a couple of years to develop, and now he's a rotation player on a title contender. Mm-hmm. Something you could have used.
Who?
Pat Connaughton.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he did play a lot with the Bucks.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I remember.
Just another shooter to space the floor for Giannis.
Yeah, and also. He's athletic. He's athletic as hell.
That's the thing that I couldn't understand. Like a 44-inch vertical. I knew. He's a white wing. We know he's not going to be an elite defender, but he shot 40. He played at Notre Dame, didn't he? He shot 40%+ from three at Notre Dame, and I think he had a higher vertical than DJ Stephens did.
He's about 44. He's also like 6'4", 6'5".
Parker, I'm not going to do this to you. I promise I'm not going to go into much detail here. But speaking of DJ Stephens, that reminds me of my favorite moment as far as beef on Grizzlies Twitter.
Oh, God. That's not diving
For reasons I'm not going to go into now, I gave it a take about why I didn't think the Grizzlies should sign DJ Stephens, whether to a two-way or to a full-time roster contract. And it was some of our old friends at Beale Street Bears that little beef was with. And that was an interesting night.
No, it was interesting.
It definitely was.
But yeah, I remember being there for game five. You know, like for the Milwaukee and Toronto series. And do you know how like most rotations shrink?
Mm-hmm.
Budenholzer stayed with a 10-man rotation. And I was just like, what the hell is Pat Connaughton doing playing playoff minutes?
He's pretty good. The poor man's J.J. Redick.
No, he's more of, to me, he's an athletic Troy Daniels. Same size.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
They're about the same size.
Athletic, poor man's J.J. That's about the same thing.
My hot take is Troy Daniels was probably the second or third best spot-up shooter in the NBA, and just like he just because of his deficiencies, lack of size in other areas, despite that incredibly elite skill, he still couldn't stay on the court.
Can't dribble, can't pass, can't play defense.
That's it, yeah.
But he can shoot.
He can shoot.
He can shoot the threat of the ball.
He could rival just about anyone outside of Steph and Clay when he got hot. Just about anybody.
Six threes against OKC in the final 2 minutes.
Bro, I remember that. I was there for that. I was with my friends. We were already blowing them out. Westbrook got thrown out of the game. And we just kept Wade Baldwin just kept giving Troy Daniels the ball. You already know Wade Baldwin was like, oh yeah, my assist.
The best part of it all was Andre Roberson comes into the post-game press conference like beating his chest, like, yeah, we'll see what happens the next time we play. They're like, Roberson, what are you gonna do? You gonna airball a couple of threes? He's gonna play that lockdown D. And the Thunder did beat them the next time they played them, but I don't think it's because Andre Roberson went off.
True.
Yeah.
True. You know, I really wanted to stick to that core four deal of like sticking like 25, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So like we're approaching that time, like 28, 29 minutes. So like, do y'all have anything else to say? Anything else to add?
I'm sick and tired. I noticed this when I was writing my two columns last night, is I'm really tired of having to hypothetically say when the Grizzlies have a core of Jarrett Jackson and Morant slash Barrett. Can I just go ahead and cross Barrett off the list? We all know that.
I stole from Joe where he does, like, and then, like, whenever he says John Morant, he puts in parentheses likely or probably. I do the same thing.
Okay, that's something start doing here for the next week until draft night, because we all know that's what's going to happen. So.
Exactly. A week away, yeah. Jeez. Yeah, Alex, you got anything else to add? Clutch like Mac?
Clutch, I revealed first. I did reveal first. The OG that revealed. So,
one more question. What are you going to do when they trade Mike Conley? Are you going to change the name?
I've been trying to figure that out. So I might just put something Alex Adams or Clutch Like Ja. Oh, I shouldn't have said that because now someone's going to steal it.
I have a good one. I'll tell you off the air. Okay, I don't want anybody stealing it. All right.
Somebody can have that one then.
Yeah, have Clutch Like Ja.
Yeah, you can take it.
Sure.
Yeah. Die Hard Grizzly, come back and take it.
True that.
He's listening to it right now. I know he is. He's
always listening.
Always lurking. Or there's somebody, I'm going to be the next big fan account. I can see it now.
But people are like, if anybody has any ideas of becoming like the next big fan account, y'all, like you and Molly, among others, kind of came into this sphere, this time period where Twitter was popular, but Grizz Twitter was not quite as popping as it is now. It was kind of like just getting into that stage. Molly, in particular, who had hers like in 2010, 2011.
No, she said seventh grade, and she's like a college sophomore.
So that would have been 2013, roughly.
I guess so, yeah.
So, like, still, that's pretty ahead of the curve, too. I think with, like, if it is populated Grizz Twitter and NBA Twitter, NBA Twitter is like a cultural thing. It's not just a Twitter thing anymore. With it being as populated and as famous as it is, I don't think you could really come into that and start something new. I could be wrong, and there could be someone doing it right now, but I think it's a lot more difficult to do that, to do what you did, to do what Molly did, to be able to accomplish that now. I just think it's a lot harder.
There's a bunch of Ja Morant fan pages coming around. So yeah. Best of luck to them. So we'll see.
We'll see what they look like in 5-6 years. Right.
True that.
Get a big fan page. You just got to get lucky. Someone retweet you. That's big. And there you go. But that takes some luck.
Yeah. But also, like, I will say, like, it did, like, a lot of hard work for you, too, because, like, I saw, like, you were always on the trade machines, like, actually coming up with, like, a lot. Like, you were, like, legitimately, like, trying to give, like, good analysis, and, like, you did. Like, with, like, hypothetical trades, your videos. You also made some good graphics, too. Like, any company listening to this, you need an intern or something. Shout out. Alex Adams.
92.9, Sports 56 for the second time.
True that. There you go. So, do y'all have anything like to plug in, like any social media handles or anything?
Clutch Like Mac 11, but that's...
that might change here soon.
Yeah, it might change.
Y'all know who I am. Y'all know where to find me.
Yep, you can find him at Big Nate Chester. You can find me on Twitter at @Paca_Flocka. Find the Core 4 Twitter at the Core 4 Podcast with the number 4, not the word 4.
And you can find Parker and I's written content, columns, and whatever on grizzlybearblues.com.
Yeah, that's on Twitter at SBN Grizzlies. This should air on Monday, so if you're listening to this, come to the Bluff Thursday night for the draft watch party. Should be super fun.
We're doing our live podcast.
There will be a live podcast. Mm-hmm. Just stay tuned. It might be us. You never know. The only way you can find out is if you come to the Bluff Thursday night. So with that, we'll see you later.